We have a friend who's a chef, and I said, I think he could probably just make them. And we phoned him and we were like, could you make us like 300 packets of crackers in like a week? And he was like, yeah.
Welcome to Tough Times, Tougher City, a podcast presented in partnership with Belfast City Council, featuring local businesses that have started, scaled, and pivoted during the pandemic. Episode 5 is with Lydia Hodgins from Local Box, the digital corner shop bringing NI food to your front door. Stay tuned to hear why they started their business, what they've learned over the last 12 months, and all the support and opportunities out there for people just like you to go out and do the same. My name is Matthew Thompson for Best of Belfast, and my hope is that this series will remind us all that even though the times are tough, our city and the people in it are even tougher. Let's go. Well, let's start way back. I usually kind of like to start there and kind of ease your way into the more present day stuff. Talk to me about growing up. Talk to me about your childhood. Any sort of whisper of business in there, or was business something that you just kind of fell into later in life?
I've always done sort of things on the side, or looked for volunteering opportunities that have got a kind of food element in it. And yeah, just absolutely love being around food in different ways. So yeah, I think that was the thing that was probably always on the agenda. And it just took me a little bit longer to get there. And yeah, you know, maybe should have just been a bit braver and jumped in a bit sooner. But, you know, I think it's an important point as well that, like, I mean, I remember in school, we got sort of sorted into, you were either going to do Latin or you were going to do home economics. And I wanted to do home economics because it was the closest thing to food that you could do. And, you know, I got sorted into Latin and I was really, really upset. And I tried to explain to the teacher, like, you know, I actually want to, like, at that stage, I wanted to be a chef. And I was like, you know, this really matters to me. And I was only like about 12 or 13, you know, and I think it's important that kids are, you don't have to go to university or be pushed towards university just because you've got good grades. You know, if someone knows what they want to do, then, like, that's quite rare. And I think it's a shame that school and stuff sort of kind of pushed you away from that. There's lots of ways that there's a path that could have been taken, but I think I like to feel really like practical and really like involved and things like that. So
Boots on the ground sort of vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think if you're interested in food, then you have to be really, really close to that.
Yeah, you've got to be, because, like, you know, even if you think about that, the high flying chef is still, like, you know, sleeves rolled up, getting stuck in. It's a really, really hands on sort of industry, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it is. I know. And where is that food coming from? And, you know, it's coming from the ground. Yeah. So, like, literally on the ground.
So, I mean, we're kind of cart before the horse here. That's my fault. It's the way I always do it. But if you could just tell us, like, what actually is Local Box, and kind of break that concept down for us and explain how it works.
Yeah, so Local Box is online food shop, and we stock local produce. So everything is from Northern Ireland, and now we've started to add in products from the Republic of Ireland as well. And people can go on and do their shopping, and it gets delivered to them at home in reusable packaging. So sort of like a milkman concept, and we come and, you know, your next order, then we pick up that reusable packaging. But there's no obligation to, it's not a subscription service. You don't have to buy lots of times. You can just try it as a one-off and never order again, or try it once and order again when you fancy. So we've tried to make it as flexible as possible for people so that they don't feel like they're signed up to something. But you can also set up, you know, if you want to have milk on the regular, or, you know, any of the products on the regular, then there's also that option that you can tailor it so that, you know, you get your milk every week and then you get eggs every 2 weeks. It's really just like an online grocery store, and it gets delivered.
Yeah. So, I mean, talk to me about how the idea of Local Box came up, and then maybe some of your first few steps to try to make that a reality.
Yeah. So Local Box started because we were getting a fruit and veg delivery box from Flavour First in Doncaday, and we noticed that our waste, where we're hardly ever putting out the bin, you know, our waste levels just really reduced at home, and we were really enjoying this. You know, we were going to the shops less. We didn't have to worry about where was this food coming from, because I was going to the supermarket and just walking around and not wanting to buy anything because of where it was from and how it was packaged and this, that and the other. And it was really frustrating me. And we also have a fantastic butcher who we now stock, just really, really close to us, Warwick's Butchers. And they're really good at explaining to you why their meat is different. And you, I mean, you can taste that it's different, but they, you know, had explained to us multiple times, you know, this bacon doesn't have any water added to it, and this is why that's different, and so on and so forth. And so we were sort of like, yeah, like there's fantastic food here, and we're really lucky. Like, we have the butchers on our doorstep who are open till 6 o'clock, and we get the fruit and veg box. But it's really hard to add in the time to get everything else, you know. Like, we were like, yeah, we'd like to be getting proper local bread, and we'd like to be getting, you know, locally roasted coffee and things like that. So it was really a desire to be able to, and milk and eggs and all those other things. But most people, you just don't have the time to go around and source these things and put it all together. So my partner, Justin, was like, you know, well, this is something that I would like. And, you know, he's a software engineer, so he can just tinker away at projects. So he started to build the website and just, you know, if we want this, other people probably want this. And, you know, I'm going to build the website and we'll just see how it goes.
I love that point that you said about the time, because, you know, whenever you were saying it, I just thought of, like, you know, back in the day, like, going shopping would have been like a day long affair, you know, because you would have had to have gone to all the different places. And I guess that's what that's the problem as such that the supermarket came in to quote unquote solve. It's interesting now, like, you know, there has been this massive sort of homecoming back to local, and, you know, this desire to go to the butcher and get your own meat. You know, why should we do that? What's the benefits of that? Like, what's the extra cost, or is there ways to save money? And you're right, there is kind of been this big sort of movement back to that more local approach to food. And so it's really interesting that you guys saw that need in yourselves and then thought, hey, look, there's going to be other people like us out there.
Yeah, it is interesting, because we started off with, you know, this has to be low waste. We cannot be adding waste in here. So, you know, from the start, it was like, we're going to reuse the boxes. We're going to take them back. Everything that we're never going to add packaging, and we're going to try and stock products that are low packaging. So, you know, when we're looking at products, it's all like, okay, well, can this be packaged a different way? And we do, we buy the granola loose and then we put it in reusable boxes and so on. So when we're thinking about how could the packaging be reduced here, I always thinking back, like, okay, how would this have been for my grandparents? And, you know, it is, it's really like, okay, well, they, you know, this didn't always come like this. So how would it have been before? And, like, I just have pictured my granny going and doing her shopping so many times because it's like, you know, what would that have looked like? And how can we make that make sense? Now, you know, it has to be acknowledged that there is, like you say, there is a price difference between, you know, what we sell and in the supermarkets. But I think, you know, and we have learned a lot in the last year talking to our suppliers and producers. And I think we need to do an education piece to get people to understand, you know, okay, well, this is why this product is more expensive than what you're finding in the supermarket. And quite often it's because the supermarket is stocking that product at a loss. And just a bit of explanation as to what those practices are, so that people can understand that. And I think food is the place to start with these things, because where and how you spend your money makes a difference. And I think that once you start with food and people have that connection, then they can start to think about, like, oh, well, where do my clothes come from? What's the story behind that? And so on and so forth. But I think that food and, like, that daily, everyday connection to what you're actually putting in your body is a really important place to start to sort of challenge, you know, modern day production, really. We buy directly from food producers in the majority of cases. A lot of them deliver themselves. We run the business from the home, so a lot of them are delivering to our doorstep. And that has been so lovely, because, you know, you are talking to someone who has made that cheese themselves, or someone who, you know, they've come literally straight from the farm. You know, they know the animals and they can talk about that. And that has been really lovely to have that connection, like, closer connection to where the food has come from, and to meet these people who are leading the food scene in Northern Ireland and have gone through their own journey, you know, about 10 years probably ahead of us, of trying to make impact and a difference and a change to food in Northern Ireland. And that's been, and especially in a year whenever we haven't had massive social lives, any of us. Like, that's been lovely. And then on the other side, obviously, you know, meeting all our different customers and building relationships with them and having doorstep chats with them. So yeah, I think probably the reason that I love food so much is its connection with bringing people together, and Local Box is no exception to that. It brings people together through the stories and the chats and people sharing their food and so on. So yeah, that's been really, really nice. It just makes, it's a really nice feeling, a closer connection, I think, to where you live, and knowing that, you know, in Limavady, these products are being produced, in Fermanagh, those products are being produced, and just sort of attaching your thinking of Northern Ireland and your geography to food is really nice.
I think there's a podcast series crying out to be made called Doorstep Chats, featuring your suppliers. I would listen to that. That would be really awesome.
Yeah, no, we have great chats. I think we've probably driven our neighbours completely mad with everything that's going from like our 6:30 a.m. deliveries right through to, you know, whatever time. And yeah, it was only a few weeks ago that one of our neighbours was like, "What do you do?"
Well, why don't you pull up a chair and let's have a little doorstep chat, and we'll kind of tell you more. How do you manage the temptation to eat into your own stock? I would find that very challenging if I was in your house.
Yeah, so Justin's been really strict about that since the start, and he has been like, you know, if you haven't ordered it, like, you can't have it. Because it's called dog food, and, you know, you have to test your own product, you have to eat your own.
You have
to be your own customer. And he said, you know, if we don't buy it, why would we expect other people to buy it? So, you know, he's very strict about that. I think there's only been like a couple of maybe like emergencies that, like, you know, you've no butter and you've got to get butter or whatever. But like, we're both customers. We both have accounts, and we both order every week. So that's just the way it works.
Very smart. Look, it's a great process as well. Great testing and trialing and kind of keeping on top of that whole user experience, I suppose, as well. Biggest challenge along the way so far, because, you know, the path is never smooth, and I think especially in this year, I think a lot of us have faced loads of different challenges. But what about you guys? What if some of the bumps that you faced along the way?
Yeah, Christmas was a huge challenge. You know, suppliers were under huge demand. You know, some suppliers were telling us that what they had made for December, they had sold that in November. And so suddenly they had to, you know, what they thought, oh, well, we're ready for Christmas. They weren't. But I mean, we did Christmas. We did like the entire trade that we had done from when we started up until the end of November. We did the same again in the 3 weeks in December. Goodness. Like, it was absolutely crazy. And we did that with the car, and then we hired a van for 1 week. But, you know, we were still using the car. And yeah, that's whenever we were like, okay, yeah, the van needs to be bought soon. So, you know, you were phoning people and saying, like, you know, can I order? Because with the number of hampers and people wanted to buy local, and but corporates weren't doing Christmas dinners, so they were replacing those with hampers. So, like, I mean, when we bought our hamper boxes, I bought like 50 or 100 hamper boxes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And with the attitude of like, oh, well, you know, we'll just hold on to those.
They'll do for next year.
They'll do, yeah. That's what they're like. We'll never get through them. And we sold out. Like, we completely sold out. Like, our customers, you know, they would have had to order by the end of November, because, like, we just couldn't. We couldn't have done it because we didn't really have the capacity. But also our suppliers couldn't have done it. I mean, we had ordered crackers, like crackers for cheese. And the order got cancelled because they were like, oh, no, we don't have these. We're not going to have them until January. And nowhere had crackers. You know, crackers and cheese is so popular. Nowhere had them. And I was on the like brink of ordering crackers from England, which I really, really didn't want to do because it's not what we do. And I said, we have a friend who's a chef. And I said, I think he could probably just make them. And we phoned him and we were like, could you make us like 300 packets of crackers in like a week? And he was like, yeah. in that chef way, like, just like, oh yeah, I could bang those out, no problem.
Wow.
And so, like, then you're like running basically this cracker production at the same time as like you're doing all these deliveries and fulfilling all these orders, and, you know, really hoping that your suppliers are, you know, every day you were you could place an order and then you just hoped that you didn't hear, because they could phone you back and be like, no, we can't do it. You know, we were jumping around between, you know, trying to just fulfill all this stuff and get these things last minute and driving all over. Like, normally the stuff comes to us, and like they were saying, like, because obviously couriers and all of that post and everything, they were saying it's not guaranteed, you know, I don't know if I can get this to you on time. So then you were driving around trying to pick things up. It was a really, really stressful time. So yeah, Christmas was really hard, and I'm glad that we didn't know what we were going into whenever we did that. And then, yeah, I think apart from that, I mean, neither of us has worked in retail before, and I look back at like my first emails to suppliers and like I didn't know how to ask, like, can we buy your stuff? Like, I didn't know how to say that, and things like that, working out things like that has been, yeah, just new to us. And I think, like, generally this year, like, starting a new business, I think, can feel quite isolating, and you're putting yourself out there, and that can make you feel quite vulnerable, I think, especially now that you have to put yourself out there quite strong on social media and so on. And especially because we run the business from the house, you know, it's been a hard year that way, because Christmas, whenever there was all that stress, like, you weren't able to just go to the pub and relax with friends, yeah, because that wasn't an option. And not having family and friends, not having the access to family and friends that you would normally for support, like, there have been times whenever you just needed a bit of a distraction maybe, and so you're not holding so much anxiety or worry about, you know, about things. And you know, I think this year, because of the way it's been, yeah, that's been a challenge, definitely, because it's the two of us and we're at home, and, you know, we can only kind of support each other. And yeah, you know, you're running the business out of the house, so it's kind of a constant reminder that, yeah, that the fridge we have is really, really loud, so, and it's in it's like in our main room, and it's just like there's that constant reminder of you're doing this business. So,
well, yeah, it's like you guys have taken working from home to the whole next level, like,
yeah.
how do you kind of manage that on a personal side, mental health side, emotional side, whatever side we want to kind of label?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think options this year have been slim, because, you know, what have people got to do? People have, you know, either ordered restaurant food in, or they have gone for walks, and that's kind of like those are your options. And at one point I reached out on Twitter and asked, you know, were there other female founders who maybe wanted to like connect and sort of just have a bit of peer support that way, because I think you know, none of my family have business experience, and I think sometimes I think if you try and share sometimes worries or like just talk about things that have happened with like friends and family, I think that they can be worried for you. And it's not necessarily that anything is wrong, it's just that it's just like anyone, you sometimes need to talk through what's going on in work. So yeah, I reached out, and there was a good response from other female founders in Northern Ireland, so that was really, really nice. And yeah, sometimes, yeah, someone else who knows that all you want to do is just kind of laugh about it. and that's, I think, really, really important. And then yeah, I mean, sport has always been a big thing for me, and in the summer anyway, you know, I was doing a lot of triathlon training and swimming and running and, well, everything, because the weather was so great. So yeah, that's always been a big part of my life anyway, to sort of balance things out. And I think it does really, really help to just, you just have to get out the door sometimes and do a really, really long run. Yeah,
that's incredible. Where do you see Local Box being, say, even in the next 12 months?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because obviously you start off and you're so focused on what your initial sort of, what's the initial thing that you're going to do, and it's an online shop and deliveries, and then you do that and you're like, okay, well, we've proved that we can do that, so now what? And I think, you know, we're working that out. Like, I mean, at the minute a big focus for us is to get a premises where we can do storage, where we can have our storage and our packing, because you know, we've totally maxed out the space that we have in the house, and it's actually, you know, it's slowing us down at this stage. So that is what is on the current, you know, immediate agenda. And, you know, when we have the space, bigger space, we can take on a bigger range of products. And, you know, we're hoping to bring on fruit and vegetables and those fresh products and work with local growers on those things. So we'd just really like to grow it and scale it, you know, ensure that we are just refining that customer experience as well. And, you know, we're at the stage now where the van is absolutely full and, you know, we're going to have to add in different delivery slots and different delivery days. And as I said, Justin does all the technical stuff, but he also has a full-time job. So although he has the skill to do all those things, like we have to manage, you know, his time is limited on those things as well. So that is probably how it's going to pan out over the next 12 months. And just, we have done very, very little publicity or marketing. A lot of it is down to word of mouth and a little bit of social media advertising. So, you know, now is the time, I think, where we can sort of confidently plug resources into that and grow that sort of thing. We've got a new brand. We've been working with Sean Greer and his wife Claire on branding. So we've got a new look coming out and we're really looking forward to that. And that'll kind of, you know, step things up to the next level. So, yeah, I mean, we launched in a very startup way and, you know, we kept that going. We've kept that going for a while now. And I suppose we just need to sort of get to that sort of post-launch stage in the next few months.
Unbelievable. Lydia, look, final question, and it's a question we are ending all of the episodes in this series on, and it's just simply, you know, what would you say to the person listening who is maybe on the fence about starting a business and, you know, they've got an idea and they've got a whole bunch of reservations and I guess fears and anxieties and excuses and questions. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, I would say test it, work out what you're testing and test it. And it doesn't have to be the final product that you start with, and it's not going to be. So, you know, you need to manage your own expectations and make sure that you're managing, you know, whoever the end user is, and managing their expectations as well, and have a bit of a plan in that sense. And I would say find people who can support you. And that doesn't mean that they have to be business professionals or anything like that. That can sometimes just be a bit of mental and emotional support and someone to a load of cheerleaders on the sideline to keep you going and keep you motivated, especially if you're doing it on your own. You know, the enterprise hubs around Belfast are really helpful. You know, East Belfast Enterprise Hub, Work West as well in West Belfast helped us with the Kickstart program from the City Council. And on that program, you can say quite specifically, you know, we need help with this and we wanted some help with digital stuff, just some a sort of external eye over the stuff that we had done. And we'd wanted support with some PR as well, just to sort of get the name out there. So we worked with someone on like press releases, and we did a few little bits of radio just like really at the start, which was great because, you know, a lot of people were looking for good news stories. And, you know, we had started this business during the pandemic, so there was a good bit of interest in that. And then through the Kickstart program, we also got £1,500 from the council. And, you know, we were able to buy our big fridge, which absolutely changed the business. It just really opened up. We just had just started with just like a very small, like, home fridge. And with the massive fridge, you know, we were able to stock more produce. That's whenever we could get meat on, and we could just manage things just better and grow the range. Because when we started, I mean, we had probably about 30 products, and now we have, you know, about 200 products. So that just wouldn't really be possible without that. So yeah, there's lots of support out there, and there's lots of very willing people ready to help and ready to point you in the right direction. It is Northern Ireland at the end of the day, so there's connections everywhere to be made. But, you know, we think that having done the business sort of like on a shoestring, you know, it helps you make your decisions really, really carefully. Even, you know, having used the reusable packaging, like, we know that apart from the initial investment in the reusable packaging, like, ultimately that actually saves us money. And, you know, we didn't start out with a van. We started out with just our own car, which was a Hyundai i10, which is ridiculous to be doing deliveries in a Hyundai i10. But, you know, having done that, it means that, like, you know, we bought a van in the last month, and we just appreciate the van so much because we struggled for so long with the car. So, I think there's definitely benefits to starting off. You know, you don't have to start off with loads of money, because there's other ways of support and support in kind and, you know, advice on how to do things without having a massive, massive budget.
It's awesome. So awesome.
Look, Lydia, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for sharing everything that you did today, and all the best with everything going forward. It's been brilliant.
Thank you, Matthew.
So yeah, look, really hope you enjoyed that. Had an absolute blast doing it, and I really, really appreciate you listening all the way through to the end. To find out a bit more about the support and opportunities offered by Belfast City Council to help you start, scale, or pivot your own business, please click the link in the description of this episode, where you can also find out more about today's guest. Other than that, thanks so much for being here. My name is Matthew Thompson, and if you'd like to check out the other episodes in this series, along with over 200 interviews featuring incredible local people, you can do so at bestofbelfast.org. Thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.